The state of Tennessee is one of the few places where the sounds are just as breathtaking as the sights.
Whether that's live music at an historic music venue, the crack of an open fire at a campsite in the wilderness, or hearing kids laugh as they explore what's right around the bend, Tennessee just sounds perfect.
Start planning your trip at tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Let's hear it for the man, the myth, the legend, our resident badass of the week, super producer, Mr. Max Williams.
Oh, that was me bang. I'm bang at the Max.
And you're Noel Brown. And I'm Ben Bullen.
Yeah, and we're both somewhat hirsute.
I recently moved and I've got to find that box with my shaving kit, man.
Yeah, you can just use a scissor, you know?
I'm at the point where I could just use scissors.
You could use a scissor. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I like calling it a scissor as though it's... I mean, it is one thing. It's two things that one thing... make
like a pair of pants.
I like to call pants a pant.
I've heard fashion forward people call them pants.
I thought you were going to say the way fascists talk about pants. That's a whole different
that's a whole different episode. Yeah. But we are going to talk about something you and I are both huge fans of: badasses.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be a little language in this one because we can't bleep out saying badass.
No, it's necessary. I honestly think badass is totally PG. I think it's PG, not even PG-13.
Well, we're about to talk with an authority on that very question and many other subjects. Full disclosure, we have been fans of this guest's work for many, many years. You know him as the creator of Badass of the Week. You also know him through his numerous books he's written, including things like the Epic Fails series, Guts and Glory, you name it. Fellow Ridiculous Historians, welcome the world expert on badassery, Ben Thompson.
Hey guys, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm going to say that I'm ridiculously happy to be here. Has that joke been made a bunch, or should
never.
We just...
No, you're
just
the first.
Am I already out? Am I already off the show?
No. We'll give you another shot. No, it's pretty cool, though, man, because we kind of come from the same, like, internet 1.0 kind of background, like, with how stuff works, you know, mm-hmm. and just this sort of edutainment sort of, like, realm of, like, articles that are trying to explain either history or science or whatever in an approachable way. So we're definitely kindred in that respect. How Stuff Works was maybe a little more reverent, let's just say, than Badass of the Week. But you got to tell us, I mean, you just said before we came on the air that you've been running this site for like going on 20 plus years.
So yeah, it's like 19 years, be coming up on 20 next year. So yeah, it's crazy to be thinking about that.
What inspired it? I mean, I'm sure it's a question you get all the time, but like, what's the origin story? Were you walking by somewhere and someone did something really badass?
No, I just, you know, I studied history in college. I've always just kind of loved these types of stories, right? And, you know, my dad was a big history guy. So he was really into, you know, he had like this awesome like weapons and armor collection and would be like, nice. Oh, this is an old, like, this is a Roman, you know, replica of a Roman gladius. And here's how you would have fought with it. You stick them in like this. And I thought that stuff was cool. And he'd start telling me like fun little stories about things. And, you know, I kind of always think that anybody who loves history had somebody who could make it real for you, you know?
There you go.
I do a lot of talks at schools for the Guts and Glory series, and I always say that, you know, a lot of history is just a bunch of old dead white guys and you have to memorize their birthdays. And so if you can make it more than that, I think that's really cool. And that's something that, you know, for me, I was just... I had done history in college and I liked these stories and I would read them for fun. And I was working some cubicle job, think like Neo in the Matrix or like, you know, Office Space, I think is kind of the best analogy to what I was doing. And I just had free time and I would just post these little things on the internet and, you know, I'd get 4 hits a week on my website and it would be me 3 times and then my mom. And, you know, and
then when did it kind of turn though? Like, when was that moment where you're like, oh, wait a minute now, what's going on here?
It kind of came out of nowhere. Yeah. I mean, it really did. Like, I remember the first time somebody I'd never met before sent me an email, because this is even, this predates Facebook and YouTube and all of that stuff, right? 2004. And so I remember somebody sent me an email. I was like, hey, your website's pretty cool. I was like so happy I printed it out and like thumbtacked it to the cubicle wall. I thought that was cool. And then, yeah, then it was that. It was like I was getting 10 hits a week and 100. And then at some point, it just kind of went nuts. And one day it was just like, I'm getting 1 million hits a month on my website. And I'm just some idiot typing stuff up on my computer. And, yeah. You know.
Welcome to the club. We're all just some idiot. Yeah. But to somebody, we are very special. You know, I mean, as a consumer, all of us, I think, of podcasts and internet writing. I think, you know, we have relationships with these folks that like make them almost feel like celebrities in our minds. Like there's a handful of podcasts that I follow that if I met the person who I spend, you know, a bunch of my week listening to, I would fanboy out, you know, and it's not a famous person. It's literally some idiot on the internet. And like, he's my idiot though, you know?
I fanboyed a little. We should be clear with our fellow ridiculous historians tuning in today. It was off air. But I fanboyed just because Ben, we're both named Ben, already off to a great start, and have been reading your website for some time. And I think you really nailed it when you said we're humanizing history, right? We're giving you the soul behind the names and the dates. And when we were talking and figured out we were lucky enough to have you on, thanks to the podcast that you're working on with us, you gave us a couple of different folks, like a short list of draft picks of badasses that a lot of people may not have heard of. And there's one that stood out to us for a couple of different reasons that might surprise people. We have to ask, Taijin, is that how it's pronounced?
That would be Taijin. My guess. I mean, I'm sure there's accent marks there that I wasn't able to find the characters Taijin. For his name.
Well,
so.
The most important and easier to pronounce part is the Kung Fu Werewolf. Let's just
yes,
put
Kung
that
Fu Werewolf.
Right out there.
The Kung Fu Werewolf is how he's
can't
built.
Be confused with the seasoning Taijin, which is good.
Yeah, or the Teen Wolf,
or the teen wolf.
Although he probably was a bit of a teen when he got started. But I got it. Before we dive into the story of Taijin, do you have like a badass checklist? Like what doth a badass make, or what doth make a badass?
That was a really hard one for me, right? Because you know I'd been doing the website for maybe 10 years or so, and when I guess it was the book came out in 2009, so I guess I'd been doing the website for 5 years. And I wrote the book, and I'd written 40 chapters for the first badass book, and then my editor was like, okay, well, now you need an introduction where you define what a badass is. And I was like,
damn you, editor!
Yeah, I was like, I don't know, like, this isn't, read this story, isn't this badass? I don't know what to tell you, man. So I had to kind of sit there and look at, like, okay, I've got Leonidas, I've got Vlad the Impaler, I've got Joan of Arc, and I've got Horatio Nelson. Like, what do all of these people have in common, right? What does George Patton have in common with Genghis Khan? I guess that's an easy one. But like, you know, what does he have in common with Nikola Tesla? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I had to really sit down and think about it. And I think the answer was perseverance of just, you know, it doesn't really matter what it is you're trying to accomplish as long as you just go all out, like balls to the wall all the time for it. And, you know, every tenacity. Time you get knocked down. Yeah, tenacity. That's a better word.
Because some of these figures you wouldn't necessarily consider like the good guys of history. Some of these folks are flawed and possibly quite on the evil side of things, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that was it, right? Joan of Arc's a Roman Catholic saint and Vlad the Impaler was criminally insane, right?
Right. And this is like, this is strange too, because one thing that I really respect about your mission here, Ben, is that it never ends. There's always, like, once you've got that metric you're describing, or that kind of checklist, as Noel said, then you can find the most amazing acts of badassery in all corners of the world, throughout all cultures. And that's something that, you know, when you were starting this, did you think, I'm going to run out of badasses? Or did you think this is going to continue? I mean, I'm sure you get suggestions all the time from people who are like, hey, you know who is a badass? My Uncle Larry.
I do get a lot of that. I get a lot of like,
really?
My
really?
Grandpa fought in World War II and I have some letters from him. Would you write about him? And it's like, yeah, I mean, maybe I'll look into it, right? And so, I get tons of suggestions. I have just an inexhaustible list. And forget about just like, you know, there's the big ones you have to hit, the main guys and women that you have to talk about, the great badasses of history. But there's also weird behind the scenes stuff and role players and little mini stories and things that get uncovered. And on top of that, like people are doing badass stuff all the time. So a lot of stuff has happened since 2004 that was badass that I probably could just make this like a news show about the badass thing that happened this week. You know, there's all kinds of stuff happening all the time. Yeah.
Perfect. Greenlit.
I think what has our cutoff been? Apartheid, roughly 94?
Yeah, mid-90s.
Yeah, I don't know why. It was sort of arbitrary, but we did the story about this, the gorilla that was sort of like a hero gorilla in South Africa during apartheid. And I personally was woefully underread on apartheid and then realized what an absolute, you know, monstrous event it was, historically speaking, like on the scale of something like a world war, like a Holocaust. Oh, yeah. Situation. Yeah. And then to realize that was happening like in our modern era, basically, we were alive for it. And we were like, you know what? We're cutting it off here. Nothing past 1994 shall go in the show. And of course, we can move that scale as time progresses.
Sure.
But I do think it's interesting, the idea of what is history.
Right.
Obviously, you always quote, what is it?
Faulkner.
Yeah, mm-hmm. History is never past.
Yeah, the past is not over. The past isn't even past.
Right.
Something like that.
I mean, history, we're in it right now. You know, we're living it right now. But there's, you know, for the purposes of curating a show, mm-hmm. probably smart to have some rules.
Yeah, but there is always stuff, though, right? Like, I mean, apartheid is pretty brutal. And there's a lot of, like, examples of really deep and heavy and kind of dark stuff to get in. Like, I wouldn't, it's kind of beyond the scope of what I'm trying to do with Badass and what you guys, I think, are probably trying to do, too. But there are heroic stories in there, right? Like, you even look at what's happening in Ukraine right now. There's some really heroic stuff happening right now. And,
absolutely.
And even though it's kind of a dark chapter. But yeah, what you said, right? You gotta call it somewhere.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
You know, Ben, I got to say, one of the best parts about spring cleaning is that post-clean clarity you get where you're like, man, how have I been living like this? What's wrong with me?
You're right, Noel. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan.
It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details. This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's and cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right?
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it so. The Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. Like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I think this is our way in, guys, because another thing that you do is you approach this with scholarship. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure in some of those cases, you know, you said something really interesting. You said, I will read the letter. You know, like, sure, I'll read the correspondence. I'll check it out. But you also are very upfront about what can and cannot be confirmed. You interrogate the sources as well. We respect that. And that is, in a way, part of why we wanted to talk about the Kung Fu Werewolf. It's just like, what a name. When I was a kid, when I was younger, Ben, my dream job was to be a werewolf astronaut on the moon.
It's not too late.
I was not a very clever child.
You got the beard now. You're halfway there.
Thanks, man. I am shaving this as soon as I find that.
And only then will I stop talking about it.
Oh, God.
No, but werewolf, that's the way Kung Fu Werewolf reads. It's like a B movie, you know?
I mean, really.
So, I mean,
that's the sequel to the movie. That's the sequel to the Kung Fu Werewolf movie is Kung Fu Werewolf Astronaut or Kung Fu Werewolf
on Mars. Yeah. like Leprechaun, you know, like he went all kinds of places. So I think now is the perfect time. Like you said, Ben, we talked about some of the research and how, you know, sometimes the sources can be a little thin, but sometimes that's what makes a story into almost more like lore than it is like actually a historical account. And I think we run into stories like that all the time. And the Kung Fu Werewolf of Shaolin, I added that part myself, is just such a tale. And I think this is a great time to really get right into it. So, Ben, give us the broad strokes. Like, how do you even set the story up?
Okay, so I am going to preface this by saying that the sources here are a mess. So I've started up a podcast of my own, Badass of the Week, through your guys' network, through iHeart. And my co-host there, she is a professor of history. So she's kind of good at fact-checking me on this as well, which kind of helps. But okay, yes, for Kung Fu Werewolf, Tai Jin, yeah, it's a mess. This is a kind of a disaster of sources that are, you know, all over the place. You know, I'm going to tell the good parts that are in there, even though I can't verify a lot of them. And I'll try to stipulate where and when I'm kind of providing something that is probably more along the lines of mythology and legend, and possibly the, you know, the source here was some basically action novel that was written in the late 1800s. And, you know, maybe it's based off a true story. It says it's based off a true story, but so does Tarzan. So I don't know. You know?
fair point.
So it's going to be kind of a mess, but it is going to be an opportunity for us to talk werewolves, Shaolin monks, Kung Fu, you know, ancient China, and skincare issues or skin diseases. So
for everyone who's wondering how those threads come together,
well, stay tuned.
We got you. Yeah.
Okay. So Tai Jin, he was born in the province of Fujian, China in 1849. To a family of peasant farmers. And he, as a very young child coming out, he is afflicted with a disease that we now know today as hypertrichosis, which, you know, the beard thing is a great segue into this, because hypertrichosis just means, it's a broad term that just means a lot of body hair or a lot of hair somewhere. So the clinical term for what this child had was congenital hypertrichosis lanuginosa, which is just when you have, you're just totally covered in hair everywhere.
Like your entire body?
Your entire body. Face, like some people get it on their eyelids. It affects men and women. It's a real thing that people suffer from. There's maybe only about 50 documented cases of it in human history, but it is like genetic. So you people who have it can pass it on, which is kind of an interesting
thing. Right. There was a family in Latin America, I want to say.
Yes.
That also had this.
Yeah, his name was Petrus Gonzalez, and he was a small child that was on the Canary Islands, and he was found by an Italian king and brought to this court in Italy. And he, same thing, had hair covering his entire body. And the
there's images of him wearing kind of like Elizabethan like ruffs and stuff, right?
Paintings of him. So he was so interesting.
Excuse me. Yes, of course.
Yeah, they had paintings made of him. So he's in. Sorry, excuse me. It wasn't Italy. He goes to France. So he is presented to King Henry III of France, who's just kind of like mind blown. I guess the French found this kid on the Canary Islands, were like, this is cool, took him from his home and gave him to the King of France. And the King of France was like, oh, this is interesting. That's something you don't see every day.
That's so weird too, to think about being presented to the king. It's like you're the king of this world power, but you also somehow are still doing a variety late night show. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like, and our next guest might get in a hairy situation.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever brought him out had to have like some sort of serious preamble. It's like,
and now, presented for the pleasure of His Majesty, the seventh wonder of the world, the wolf man of Borneo,
or whatever.
And then we will be followed by a cheese course, a juggler, and a fool.
And then proceed to the vomitory.
Exactly.
It's totally that, though. I mean, that's 100% what it was, right?
Weird. Wow. These people are like children. That's all I'm saying. Sorry. Carry
they didn't have TV. What are you going to do all day? You're rich. You got no. You don't work, right?
What are the presentations? I grow weary.
You don't have like video games on your phone. I don't know what you do. I don't know what they did back then.
So there's this real guy, and this guy is a... I've heard a little bit about this guy. So he is... He was originally enslaved, I think, which is how they got him in the first place. But I had heard, and Ben, maybe you can tell us how likely or unlikely this is. I had heard this guy, Petrus, might have been a part of the inspiration for stories like Beauty and the Beast? Is there any sand to that?
Yeah, so there's some of that. So he's interesting because the King of France decides that he wants, you were right, he was enslaved, and the King of France wants him to go to school. He's like, give him a formal education. And I mean, this is a thing that comes up a lot, and we're doing a little bit with the Kung Fu werewolf thing, but like, he's a real person. He's a human being, and people are kind of are like, is he an animal? Is he, what is, he's a missing link kind of thing? Is he, there's, is this some kind of satanic thing happening? There was all kinds of weird speculation. He's getting poked and prodded by all these doctors who are trying to figure out what's happening here. Cause we now know that it's a mutation of the X chromosome, but they weren't quite there yet in 1565 or whatever.
right.
And, so the king's like, oh, let's give him a formal education and see if he can learn, like, just to see if we can do that. And he can. He's a person, right? He speaks French and Latin. He learns court etiquette. He dresses, you know, in those fancy clothes that we see. He gets married to, like, a nice French woman and has kids who are also hairy, a boy and a girl, and they both have the same thing. He's passed it on to them, and they're covered in hair also. So there exists places like he got his portrait painted, but there's pictures.
And he looks quite gangster in this, though.
He looks portrait awesome. Of him.
Yeah. It looks like he's, you know, you have to wonder how history would treat him if there was a single drawing of him smiling.
Yeah.
There is not. No. He's always, like, I mean, he had a hard life.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He's always he's kind of broody, I think.
Plus, back then, you had to deal with, like, the old-timey cameras and the old portraits and stuff. They're rarely
completely still.
Yeah, you got to hold totally still, right? So even if you had a smile, you can't keep, like, the same dumb smile on your face for the 12 hours it takes this guy to paint your portrait. You just got to be able to stand there pretty motionless.
So you might argue that there is more historical context and evidence around Gonzalez than there is about the Kung Fu werewolf, right?
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody, like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it. So the Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man. And funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, Noel, have you ever wanted to wake up to something better?
Oh, boy, have I ever, Ben.
Well, this is where Avalon Waterways comes in. How does waking up to a medieval castle, an ancient cathedral, a rolling vineyard, or a charming cobblestone village sound to you?
Well, here on Ridiculous History, that's right up our street, Ben, our charming cobblestone street. So I can say it sounds pretty good to me.
You're absolutely right, Noel. Avalon Waterways has redefined cruising in so many different ways. They've got the widest opening windows. They've got beds that face the passing scenery. So wherever you go, you have a front row seat to the views of the world. And not only do you wake up in the best staterooms in the entirety of the business, but you're waking up in a new port every day, right in the heart of these amazing historic cities.
Ah, Ben, sign me up. Open your eyes to a better view and a different kind of cruising. One with smaller ships, bigger experiences, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Way more, because, I mean, we have people that went to their house, like they're operating in Italy and in France. And he becomes known as Don Pietro because he gets, like, you know, everybody likes him. Once he gets the chance to schmooze with the royalty, they all like him. He has a family. They're kind of like professional people who hang around medieval courts in the 1500s or whatever. And he has kids and people will go and draw him. There's lots of drawings of his children and stuff. And
Do his kids have the same condition? You mentioned being genetically possible.
Yeah, both of his son and his daughter had it. And so there's pictures of a little girl wearing an Elizabethan costume and she's got hair all over her face. And I mean,
fascinating.
Yeah, right. Like it's pretty wild. But yeah, they hang around in castles. And in addition to Beauty and the Beast, there's a chance that they kind of lean into the actual like werewolf mythology as we know it. Because werewolf mythology dates back to ancient Greece, right? The OG werewolf story is a guy named Lycaon, who tried to appease Zeus by killing his own son and offering the entrails to Zeus, and that made Zeus mad, and he turned into a wolf.
Yeah.
He was like, you have presented incorrectly. Yes. I need a different presentation.
A different organ, please. Lycanthropy, right?
Right.
That's where that would come from.
Yeah. So he became like known as Zeus Lycaos because Lycaon was the king of a place called Lycostra, and the Zeus of that town turned people into wolves if you offered them entrails or if you tried to eat people or stuff like that. And the deal was...
I like that you're pointing out the Zeus of that town, though. Yes. That might surprise some people.
Yes.
What do we mean by that?
Because there's different towns where everybody was capable of worshiping Zeus in their own special ways. And so the different towns had the different chapels or temples or whatever that had different ways of worshiping Zeus. And
I can respect that. Styling on it a little bit.
We all
know?
Crap our pants in this town for Zeus.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay, as long as you're putting money in the offering plate, like, he don't care.
Thank you for coming to the annual crappening.
Hence, our number one export is pants.
Mm-hmm. In pairs and singlets.
And singlets. So that's where the lycanthropy comes from, is that Zeus. And the deal was, you turned into a wolf for 9 years. And if you could stay a wolf for 9 years without eating anybody, you got turned back into a human.
What are you supposed to eat?
I don't know.
You know, like veggies.
I guess deer or whatever.
Okay. You're allowed to eat nuts, people.
Yeah.
But there was none of the whole like transformation based on a lunar cycle was
No wolf man, nothing like that. You were a wolf or you were a person. Even like St. Augustine at one point said witches were capable of turning people into wolves and back again. But there was no hybrid mix except for... Like, that starts to show up around this time, and there's a dude who is in France at the same time as Petrus. He's named Gilles Garnier. He's called the Werewolf of Dole because he killed and ate like a half dozen children. And people said he could like turn into a wolf and back again. And he was this crazy hermit that was killing and eating kids. And he is existing close to Petrus Gonzalez around the same time as him. And there's some some discussion as to whether this is where the Wolfman hybrid idea comes from. But we don't know.
Yeah, this is something else we see in other countries in Europe. Who's that guy? Germany, Peter Stumpf, I believe, from a previous thing we did on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know About Lycanthropy. He is also an alleged, you know, cannibal, serial killer, very nasty customer. But how does this, okay, so how does this all work out for our boy Petrus before we even get to Taijin? Like, Petrus is, he's going to get lumped in with these folks, right?
Not as much as you'd think, because I was trying to find a link there, too. He's more like the Beast in Beauty and the Beast, but this is kind of like, but he does exist in this world and in this space where this is happening. And, you know, and there's also like, there's, it's also entirely possible there's no connection, right? The, when you were talking about Germany, like the Vikings and the Germans, they wore like wolf pelts into battle as berserkers. And so that could be where the Wolfman thing comes from. We don't know for sure any of this stuff, but... but it is interesting that this guy, Garnier, was literally burned at the stake for being a werewolf during the lifetime of Petrus Gonzalez. So I don't know.
That's gotta be nuts too for Petrus and for the people in the court. Cause imagine, you know, at this time in Europe, you've probably seen a wolf. You've definitely seen a dude. Mm-hmm. And so people working with the information at the time, of course you would think he's a werewolf.
Yeah, I mean, remember the whole story of the Beast of Gavaudan?
Yeah.
Gavaudan?
Brotherhood of the Wolf.
Brotherhood of the Wolf, obviously way styled on that story. But it's the same thing we run into all the time and stuff they don't want you to know when it comes to cryptids. It's usually the misidentification of a commonly seen thing, or there's some weird religious context that's wrapped up in it, or some kind of paranoia or superstition that turns some eyewitness account of like what is ultimately just kind of a burly wolf into like some sort of monstrous beast. And that kind of thinking, while it seems like surprisingly, I guess this was during kind of Enlightenment era, they were pretty nice to this guy. I mean, like they raised him up in the court and treated him like a human. If he was presented at first more like an oddity, that ultimately kind of went away. And you would not typically think of you know, historical Europeans being quite so open-minded as that, right?
Right, right, exactly. Because that would be, was my thought too. I was like, oh, this must be like, you know, related. But no. I mean, he seems like, you know, he kind of was able to overcome people's initial reaction to him and kind of just carve out an ordinary life as a guy who lives in the, hangs out with the aristocracy of France and Italy, which is cool. Which I'm also is a kind of a good segue back into our guy Taijin that we want to talk about.
Yeah. I got to say this
trajectory
right before we switch. It just hit me. Our boy Petrus must have been an amazing people person. Like, this guy must have had a real personality that doesn't come across in the drawings because
he convinced
France that he was cool. He's like, hey, I know werewolves have been getting a lot of bad press, right? But I'm the werewolf of the people. Think of me as like a were dude.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We can all hang.
17 charisma, you know?
There he goes.
It's kind of fantastic. So I think you picked the exact right time to segue back into it. And again, we set this up as talking about Taijin, but I think in general, we're just talking about cool weredudes of history.
In Taijin general.
And there aren't a ton of them, as you pointed out. But Taijin, you know, he is born
in ancient China. Teen Wolf was able to make he was starting point guard at high school, right? That was...
By the way, I was Googling a little bit about this stuff, and you know how it'll tell you suggested or other people asked. It says, what was movie about high school werewolf? And the answer is Teen Wolf. It's also Teen Wolf 2, which had Jason Bateman was in Teen Wolf 2. I just erased from my memory.
On purpose.
He was a very young, up-and-coming actor at the time. People forget about that, though. But Taijin, born in ancient China, again, a civilization, society very much focused on things like evil spirits, things like malevolent forces, and probably a little bit of a moment when, you know, you're wife gives birth to a completely hairy infant. You might think maybe it wasn't even human at all.
That you
might
got be some the first explaining thing, to do.
Yeah, that comes out. Yeah. Right, like, who you been hanging out with? But seriously, what? How did that go over in this this birthing situation?
Yeah, so it's 1876. So it's a couple hundred years after Petrus. So there's a photograph that is purported to be of this guy. So he's kind of like post-Civil War is like the time period that we're in. But we're also in very rural China, right? Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to correct myself. I did say ancient China, but I guess in my mind, when you're in that rural part of that part of the world,
similar.
For all intents and purposes, you're operating with some of the same machinery, both literally and figuratively, as you were in those days.
Absolutely. Either way, they didn't have access to the American Journal of Human Genetics article that kind of explains that this is a mutation on the X chromosome. You were right. You nailed it. They thought demon. This is the work of demons or something. And so they left the baby out into the forest to die and went back home. And that was the end of it. Was, okay, we're just
what they call exposure.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Which we've seen in other cultures. If a member of a community is seen as too aberrant, or if they're seen as maybe too much of a liability, then it would be common or not infrequent for those people to be left in the woods. And it was seen as more humane than actually killing them.
And it's the stuff of myth and fable, when these babies are found and then
like feral
raised
children.
By wolves or whomever.
That's how Rome was founded.
Exactly.
That's right.
But okay, so we've got, so this kid, infant really, is left out in the wild in rural China. Obviously, it's defenseless, given that it's just been introduced to life. Things aren't looking good.
Yeah, as a parent of like a little 2-year-old now, like I can't like kids are worthless for the first like 6 months. I don't know how any humans ever managed to like walk this earth and make it past that first stage. But two things happen: you die of exposure, or you accidentally create a Spartan warrior, which is what's going to happen here.
And we've got to hold the phone here. We've got to pause.
Holding it.
Yeah.
Holding. Holding.
We had such a good time that we knew we would have to spend more time with our pal Ben.
Yeah, more or less a preemptive two-parter, I would say. I mean, maybe we didn't know going in, but then as we started watching the clock and seeing how the conversation progressed and that it kind of neatly snipped out into two sort of discrete conversations, we figured we would do that and make it be Badass of the Week.
Badass of the Week.
On
I'd
Ridiculous
like it.
History.
On Ridiculous History. Big thanks to our super producer, Mr. Max Williams. Big thanks to Jonathan Strickland, a.k.a. The Quister.
Oh. My wolf yowl.
Big thanks to Kung Fu Howls. Big thanks to, what would that be? Werewolf Kung Fu would be like Howl Fu.
Kung Fu Pandas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beverly Hills Ninja.
Shaolin Monks, Wu-Tang, you know.
Unclear if any of these references land. These may not occur until
part two. These may not have occurred yet. Yeah.
It's okay. We're doing a little bit of stage setting, a little bit of foreshadowing. Huge thanks to you, Ben, and also to Badass Ben for being our guest. We'll see you next time, folks.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Avalon Waterways. Ben, are you in major need of a vacation right now?
Noel, you're a mind reader. I am, and aren't we all?
We are. While cruising remains popular, there's something big happening in the industry, and that is, my friend, smaller ships.
True story. The intimate ships of Avalon Waterways can go where the big ships can only dream, through winding passageways of rolling vineyards and castled hills, into the heart of timeless cities and storybook villages.
That sounds like a delight. See how Avalon's smaller ships promise greater discoveries, fewer people, and more of everything.
Limited time special offers await at avalonwaterways.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks,
Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And for a limited time, get more fun for less with the Michigan Bundle for just $49.99. Exclusive to Michigan residents only. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.